Senator Pogueveller.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings on the roll call be dispensed with, the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
Motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is Pastor Hans Jorgensen from the St. Timothy Lutheran Church in St. Paul.
Morning. Let's pray. God of many names and of no name that contains you, we give thanks for the little gifts of life. A cup of coffee with a friend, a square of chocolate with a child, a word fitly spoken, a laugh so free it brings tears to our eyes. And we give you thanks for one very big gift, the gift of being alive today. Guide us in the wisdom of your Spirit so that our work may benefit your people. Watch over our families and loved ones with mercy, and bathe our world with your radiant goodness. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. See ya. Thanks for coming. Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzel, Bonoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fischbach, Phoebe, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Parisot, Perry, Pogemiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vanderveer, Vickerman, Wieger.
Quorum is present.
Thank you.
Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House has reconsidered the vote whereby House File 2700 was repassed as amended by conference, and has also reconsidered the vote whereby the recommendation report of the conference committee were adopted on February 22nd, 2010. House File 2700, a bill for enacting the capital improvements, authorizing spending to acquire and better public land and buildings and other improvements of a capital nature with certain conditions. As requested by the Senate, the House has returned the bill to the conference committee as formally constituted, signed Elvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives, transmitted March 9th.
Next order of business is reports of committees. Senator Pogueveller.
Mr. President, I move that the reports of the committees printed in the agenda be now adopted.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Next order of business is second reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's agenda. Without objection, second reading of Senate bills. The next order of business is second reading of House bills. There's one printed on today's agenda. Without objection, second reading of House bills. Next order of business is introduction to first reading of Senate bills. There's one correction on page 3. Senate file 3164 will be sent to the Judiciary Committee. Without objection, introduction and before that, there's one to be read.
Senator Cohen for the Committee on Finance introduces Senate File Number 3223, a bill for an act relating to the financing of state government, making supplemental appropriations and reductions in appropriations for higher education, environment, and natural resources, etc.
This bill will be referred to the Tax Committee. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills. The next order of business is motions and resolutions. There are a number of motions, author's motions. Without objection, we'll adopt them as one motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. There are three other motions and two to be read at the desk. The first motion will be read by Senator Berglund.
I move that Senate File 2337 be withdrawn from the Committee on Health, Housing, and Family Security and re-referred to the Committee on Finance.
Okay, this is your bill, and Senator Senjum has asked for kind of a brief...
Right. This is really a bill about financing. It got sent to the Policy Committee in error, and Senator Marty's agreed that it should go to the Finance Committee.
Okay, on the Berglund motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Berglund, you have another motion to make.
I move that Senate File 3029 be withdrawn from the Committee on Health, Housing, and Family Security and re-referred to the Committee on Finance.
Okay, Senator Berglund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, this is a similar situation. This is really a financing bill and not a policy bill, and Senator Marty agreed that it should go to the Finance Committee.
Okay, on the Berglund motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Saxhog, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate File 2691, number 30 on general orders, be strictly referred to the Committee on Finance.
Brief description. Senator Saxhog.
Mr. President, we found some financial issues that need to be taken care of in the bill.
Okay, on that Saxhog motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Olsen, do you have a motion?
Mr. President, I move that Senate File 2949 be withdrawn from the Committee on Finance and re-referred to the Committee on State and Local Government. This bill is related to online learning, and we're establishing a task force, and there's time limits on the task force, and so needs to go before state and local.
Okay, on the Olsen motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Dahl, do you have a motion to make?
Thank you, Mr. President. I do. I move that Senate File 3095 be withdrawn from the Committee on Commerce and Consumer Protection, given a second reading and placed on general orders. I have talked with the chair of the committee, and she has agreed to this action.
Okay, on that motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator, second reading.
Senate File 3095.
Second reading. Remaining under motions and resolutions, there's one, two, three resolutions printed on today's agenda. Without objection, they will be referred to the Rules Committee. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, members, I don't think we'll take up, some committees are starting to meet at noon today, so I think we will not take up the calendar or the consent calendar today, but we would like to process the conference committee report on bonding. The House, the other body is working on it now. They have a time certain, so I'm sure it will be over here relatively soon. And so what I'd like to do is have Senator Langseth take up the discussion of it now. And then when the House message gets here, we can deal with it then. So if that's Senator Senjum, is that okay to proceed that way? I'd yield to Senator Langseth.
Senator Langseth. Senator Langseth.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, as you know, this is the second conference committee report of the session. If you look at the spreadsheet, it will highlight the differences between the first conference committee report and this, and the one we have before us today. The governor did insist that a number of things that were not in the first report be in this report. That came to about $75 million with, I think it was about six different projects. And of course, we wanted to hold the numbers down to the $999 it was before, so we had to go through the first conference committee report and takes about $75 million out. And those things are highlighted in the spreadsheet that you have on your desk. I would just repeat some of the things I said before. This is the time to bond and build. The projects are coming in many cases, 15-20% or so below what they had expected. I did just hear this morning that the state's PFA bonds are now being sold for 3.25% interest. So I don't think there's been any time that interest rates have been as low as they are now. And of course, with so many of our construction workers on the bench not working, this will put many of them to work. And with that, I guess you've got the spreadsheet here. If there's any questions about any of that, or and what we put in of the governor's projects, why feel free to ask. Mr. President, I would also like to thank the people on the Capital Investment Committee, particularly those that spent a lot of time going around the state with us, and now the members of the conference committee. It was somewhat of a bumpy ride and quite a bit of stress trying to figure out just how to put this together, but I would like to thank all of them for the work they did. And I'll stand for any questions.
Senator, discussion, Senator Pogermiller.
If there's no discussion, I suppose we could take up the consent calendar. Mr. President, I would move then under, remaining on the order of motions and resolutions, I'd move that we take up the consent calendar.
Okay, on the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. First item on the consent calendar is Senate File 2743, Senator Pretner Solon. Senator Pretner Solon and Senator Olsen, are you ready?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Senator I move Pretner's. That when this committee do a consent calendar. Mr. President, Senate File 2743 makes just a three-word or four-word change in legislation that we passed last year. There is a need for adolescent psychiatric beds in the metro area, and we passed legislation that would remove the moratorium for that. It stated that it had to be in western Hennepin County when they measured, though they were 4,000 feet over the line, and so this changes the language to the western two-thirds of Hennepin County. I ask for your support for Senate File 2743.
Further discussion on Senate File 2743. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 2743, a bill for an act relating to health, modifying a hospital construction moratorium.
Secretary will take the roll.
Rick. Oobly. considering we were in committee till 7:30 breakfast this morning.
Senators, having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 66 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed as title agreed to. The second bill on the consent calendar is Senate File 2183, Senator Olsen.
Mr. President, Senate File 2183 is a bill that recognizes, it's going to designate a stretch of Highway 95 in North Branch for Corporal Jonathan Benson, who was succumbed to his wounds from an injury in Iraq due to a roadside bomb. He was on his second tour of duty. He had already he'd received two Purple Hearts, and his unit vehicle hit a roadside bomb, and he was severely injured, lost a leg and an arm, and made it back to the United States, but lingered for about 3 months and then passed away in Texas in a military hospital. And we felt it was very appropriate to name this stretch of road through North Branch, the Corporal Jonathan Benson Memorial Highway. That's the bill, Mr. President.
Discussion on the bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 2183, a bill for enacting relating to highways designating the Corporal Jonathan Benson Memorial Highway in the city of North Branch.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted. Desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 66 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed. Its title agreed to. The third bill and the last bill on the consent calendar, number 3 on the consent calendar, Senate File 2602, Senator Kubley.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate File 2602 makes consistent with other portions of the law. The effect would give the judicial branch the authority to release a portion of an easement instead of being restricted to either releasing the entire easement or not doing it at all. In the past, you may be aware, Mr. President and members, that when an easement was taken by eminent domain, that they could encumber an entire section of ground if they wanted to, and they may only use a small portion of it. But yet the judicial branch did not have the authority to release a portion of the easement. This would just give them that authority.
Any further discussion on Senate File 2602, seeing none, the Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 2602, a bill for an act relating to eminent domain, providing for a discharge of a portion of an easement acquired by condemnation.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. It's 66 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed. Its title agreed to. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, remaining on motions, I'd move that we take up the Senate calendar. We can do most of those. There's a couple that we can't, but so I'd move that we take up the Senate calendar.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogermiller. Oh, this is a calendar. Senate file 1st bill we're taking up on the calendar. Okay, House File 2706, Senate author, Senator Rest. Third reading.
House File 2706, a bill for an act relating to certified public accountants, clarifying licensing requirements.
Secretary will take the roll. House senators having voted desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There will be 66 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed. It's title agreed to. The second bill on the calendar is Senate File 568. This is a Senator Scheid bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 568, a bill for an act relating to civil law extending civil immunity to municipalities that donate public safety equipment.
Secretary will take the roll. Before the roll, Senator Limmer.
Mr. President, could we have the authors give a little brief description of these bills? They seem to be going rather quickly, and we're not asking for any description by the author.
That's fair. We usually don't, but these have all been talked about,
Mr. President,
at length before. So, Senator.
Mr. Pogemar. President, this is the calendar. They've all been on general orders, and we don't normally have a description of the bill. This is the calendar.
I don't think we're going to...
They've all been on general orders where there was debate and discussion and votes.
Senator Limmer.
Well, Mr. President... my recollection has always been that the author would give just a brief reminder to the Senate body of what this was.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Senator Limmer, on the consent calendar, which did take place, because those are bills that were not discussed on the Senate floor, but on the calendar, these are all bills that were discussed in general orders and voted on in general orders. So we have not historically discussed the bills when they gotten on the calendar.
Well, Mr. President.
Senator Limmer.
Mr. President, I hope that we are not prohibited from asking questions or trying to get a reminder of what the bills were. I suppose we could ask questions on every bill, but I just thought that maybe a brief reintroduction or description of a bill would be helpful, because we seem to be moving rather quickly without any real discussion at all.
Well, there's nothing that, the way
Mr.
I understand
President,
it, to prohibit you from asking questions before third reading. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, Senator Limmer, there has been a discussion. It was on general orders. And so there has been a discussion, and there has been a vote on each one of these.
Thank you, Mr. President. Perhaps the majority does not want to grant the minority the courtesy of a very brief summary, but hopefully they would grant the courtesy to the general public who come and watch, who watch on television, who watch on the internet, who listen to the audio recordings. I think for them, it would be a courtesy that would be much appreciated if we could just have a very short one sentence summary of each bill before we vote.
I think we're not going to change the way we do things around here, but if you have a legitimate question at this point, that's okay, okay? So third reading at Senator. Secretary will take the roll on the bill. All senators have voted. Desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 5 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed. Its title agreed to. The third bill on the calendar is House File 2856. This is also a Scheid bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 2856, a bill for enacting a commerce making changes and required continuing education of real estate brokers and salespersons.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote, Secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes, 2 nays, the bill is passed. Its title agreed to. The fourth bill on the calendar, Senate File 2372. This is an Erickson Ropes bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 2372, a bill for an act relating to veterans, clarifying the role of the Commissioner and Department of Veterans Affairs in providing certain resources for the County Veterans Service offices.
Secretary will take the roll.
President.
So what, Senator Scheid?
Mr. President, I don't think it's that bill. I think we've already done that.
Now, you have two bills here, and it's not the right number, I agree. Well, we're going to cancel it and revote. All seen. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 66 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and state agreed to. The last bill on the calendar today will be Senate File number 2439. This is a Senator Saltzman bill. Senator Sanjo.
Mr. President, may I just ask Senator Saltzman one question?
Sure, that's fine.
Senator Saltzman, just to get right down to what this bill means, if we pass this bill, will it be prohibited from any company within Minnesota or outstate Minnesota? Would we prohibit it for them to send these checks in any form to a residence or, for that matter, I suppose, a business in Minnesota? Will that just simply be outlawed? Is that the net effect of this bill?
Senator Saltzman.
Mr. President and Senator Senjum, that is the purpose of this bill, is that currently these companies are buying the credit card information from another company and sending these what are called live checks, and we've been very specific what kind of check this is. It's not the kind of checks that banks sometimes send to their customers who have a credit card that you can write against your credit card amount. But this would prohibit these live checks that come from companies, and by signing them and accepting the refund that they offer, you're actually signing up for a service. When you sign the back of the check, you're agreeing to something, and this is targeted to our senior citizens. It's targeted to people who oftentimes can't read that fine print, and it's coming from a company that they already are doing business with, and it's very misleading. And we've seen examples of where seniors have cash these checks, and then later on, because they aren't noticing, these small charges are showing up on their credit card, and that they're not seeing a service as well. I hope that answers your question.
Further discussion, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I tried to get the bill to be pulled up on my computer, but in the fast pace that we're going today, it doesn't even show up on my computer, and I can't get the chamber icon up on my computer either. So I guess I have to have some discussion about the bill. Would the author yield for a question?
She will yield, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Saltzman, is this the type of offer that would come through with a live check that might be a credit card offering that they put a check in the envelope, or is it something else?
Senator Saltzman.
Mr. President and Senator Limmer, you may sometimes get what looks like a blank check in the mail with a credit card. If you have a credit card, you may get a series of checks that are blank, and you can use those to write against your allowable credit limit. In this case, the examples, and I believe they were on your desk the day that we debated this bill, you might receive a check made out for a very small amount. It might be $4.95 made out to Senator Warren Limmer. And you would see that, and maybe you've probably been doing business with this company. You may have ordered something else from them, and you may think, oh, it's a refund check. And so you turn it over, and there's some very fine print on the back that's probably difficult to read, and you sign it. And what you're doing when you're depositing that check is, by taking the $4.95, you may be signing up for a credit protection program at $125 a month. Or you might be signing up for some other kind of service that you may not even notice that you're getting. You're probably not going to get something in the mail. But unless you check your future credit card bills in the future, you may not notice that every month $9.95 is coming, you're being charged on your credit card for a service that you may not even realize that you have. And so this is what they call a live. It's sort of enticing you that you may see this. Again, we worked with the banking industry because they wanted to make sure that it did not impact these what I would call blank checks that you get. And that language was added as an amendment on the floor after the bill was heard in the Commerce Committee.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. And thank you, Senator Saltzman, for that description. As soon as you mentioned people that were getting up in age and maybe having trouble reading, it sparked my personal interest. As you can tell, I have to use these in order to read just about everything. And I'm probably fast on my way to getting into that class of constituent that you made mention of. It's good to know that there is some restrictions. I personally think that perhaps lenders or credit card companies should maybe be included in this in some time in the future, because they also do offer these types of things. But nevertheless, I want to thank you for the time that you've given in answering
I appreciate the courtesy.
Further discussion? Senator Vandiver on this?
Senator Thank Vandiver. You, Mr. President. Well, I guess I don't agree. I know a lot of seniors, and they seem like they're just as smart or smarter than I am. They can read probably better than me, and I just think that if somebody sends me a free check, I get a little suspicious. I'm highly likely to read what I sign, and I guess I don't think I need any help with that, Senator Salzman, so I'm going to vote no on your bill.
Further discussion, Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 2439, a bill for enacting to Commerce prohibiting use of live check solicitations.
Secretary will take the roll. Final passage. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary, close the roll. There be a... Huh? Foley votes aye. There be at 60... Four ayes, two nays. The bill is passed. It's title agreed to. Senator, we're on announcements, I believe, of Senate interest.
Well,
Senator.
Mr. President, staying on motions because we need to deal with the House. But while we're on motions, I would like to mention to the members that being passed out is a budget reduction target list. That under Rule 7.2, I believe, it's become kind of a tradition for an announcement and a handout on the Senate floor of the budget targets. And so passed out to your desk are numbers that I think members are already aware of. Senator Cohen's committee has processed a bill for $208 million in budget reductions. I believe the Tax Committee is aware of the $105 million budget reduction for the Tax Committee. That will lead to the 313. Senator Cohen's bill has been sent, that budget bill has been sent to the Tax Committee, and Senator Bach will process that next week, I believe. So that bill will be a total of $313 million in budget reductions. And that's step one of the process that I've been describing. Step two will incorporate a target for Senator for the Health and Human Services bill. We are unable to have an exact number on that right now because the GAMC bill has not yet been signed into law, and so it is difficult to come on with a number on that. And so that's why we end up with the $680 million other. But that other will be Health and Human Services and K-12 education. I would respond to any questions with regards to this.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If Senator Pogamiller would yield.
He will yield. Senator Roebling.
Senator Pogamiller, the governor put out a complete budget proposal nearly 2 months ago, and this is really only taking care of about a third of the deficit that we're going to have to deal with this session. And it is hard to pass a lot of these budget bills without knowing the full picture. And I am really wondering when we will know what your full proposal is so we have an idea if we should support this level of cuts for these programs or if we should be looking for higher cuts in this area. to maybe reduce some cuts that you might propose in the others, it's really hard for us to know what's going to happen when we're only talking about a third of the deficit right now. So when do you project that we will have the full picture, and do you expect us to vote on these on the floor before we have that full budget proposal?
Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, Senator Roebling, it does create a challenge when you do this in pieces. But we are unable today to set a human service target because we have not got a GAMC bill signed. And I do understand, I believe that Senator Berglund's subcommittee passed that today, or her division. And so we will be able to set a target on human services once we've processed the GAMC bill, and that has been signed by the governor. We will then be able to set that target. I believe that a description of the governor's budget as being a full budget is not an accurate statement, because the governor's budget depends on about $400 million in federal money, one-time money, that has not been passed by the federal Congress yet. So I don't believe the governor's budget is a full budget. If the criteria is that you're going to resolve the budget through budget cuts only, I believe the governor's budget does not do that. I have asked Commissioner Hansen and the governor continually for what are your budget cuts that would get us to the 994. Their response is, we have presented you everything we're going to present you. So I think factually, the governor's budget depends on a third new money, and so I don't think it's quite fair yet to request that the Senate come up with a number on spending or on budget cuts when the governor himself has not done that. The 208 does match the governor's number for those budget areas that are listed. So the 208 is equal to the amount of budget reductions the governor is recommending in those budget areas. That will complete the work in those budget areas. On the tax committee, we believe the governor's recommendation is $250 million reduction. The tax committee will not be supporting a $250 million reduction. Their target is $105. And so there is a difference there with the governor.
Mr. President.
Senator Cohn.
Mr. President, Senator Roebling, let me supplement what Senator Pogermiller just had to say. The charge from the governor over the last couple of weeks has been that we need to get to work on the budget. I think we've heard that from him on several occasions. That's what we're attempting to do, as you well know, in the Finance Committee. As Senator Pogermiller indicated, the difficulty we have with some of the rest of this is we're not sure. Senator Berglund, who's not present, everybody knows, started working on a GAMC proposal going back to June. She worked throughout the summer and fall, was working with members of the administration, felt it was going to work, and then, as it came to fruition, was told, no, the governor's going to veto this. At that point, Senator Berglund, and Senator Berglund can speak to this better than I can, went back to the commissioner, suggested something else. The commissioner, I believe, said, well, it's likely 90% the governor will sign this. Then the word came out, no, the governor will not sign this. We passed a bill that was the kind of 90% solution. As we all know, it was vetoed. The attempt to override the veto was unsuccessful. Senator Berglund then works very hard for several days to come up with what we think is a compromise, but has not been passed by the Minnesota Senate or House, nor signed by the governor. So difficult to know at the end of the day where GAMC is going to be. Coupled with that, there's also been an attempt to make sure we know what money is to be realized from that bill, and that's gone back and forth a little bit. That's simply a question of calculation, but a degree of uncertainty there. Senator Pogermiller also made reference to the proposed federal money. There's no question when the governor presented his budget with $387 million in there to be booked from the federal government, it was non-existent. What it was a line item in the president's proposed budget. And that, you know, given some of what's happened in Washington, that would seem to be not something that we ought to depend on, not knowing what the House or the Senate was going to do. Well, it appears at this point that the money has passed the Senate, U.S. Senate. In all likelihood, the House will concur in passage of the Senate file. There's a chance the president will sign this bill that money is now in. It's in a different bill, maybe by the end of next week. That being the case, we would have an easier time starting to put these pieces together. But that suggests why we have some uncertainty in terms of other dollar amounts. What's been proposed simply has not come to fruition, either because of events beyond our control in Washington or because events within our control here, but vetoed by the governor. But again, the charge from the governor is get to work on the budget. So that's what we're doing to the best of our ability.
Senator Roebling.
Mr. Chair, Senator Cohen, I understand that some of the action in Washington has not occurred yet, and that we may be waiting to see if it actually happens the way it's expected. But putting together partial budget fixes when we really don't have a reason to move a third of it through right now without the rest of the package is just so puzzling to me. I don't think the House is ready to pass these. I don't know if the House has set these same targets. And, you know, the governor did put that proposal out there. It may not be to your liking, but he put it out there. He only has a constitutional obligation to propose a budget at the beginning of each biennium. But he's a responsible guy, and he put one out this session also because we have a deficit. And I'm just wondering, I mean, that deficit fix should be looked at in its entirety and not piecemeal like this so that we know what we are weighing against each other, which programs we're weighing for cutting, and we can prioritize, because that is so important when you're making budget cuts, is prioritizing. And doing it piecemeal does not allow us to do that.
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. And we had this discussion in Rules Committee yesterday, and hopefully, you know, we're just talking process right now. Maybe we can get process resolved. But I would just suggest, and we all know this, we did it in 2007, 2008, 2009. If we approach this thing incrementally in pieces, it will simply crash, burn, and end up in veto land, and we'll just spiral in that quagmire and frankly get nowhere. And what we need, and I think certainly our side needs, and I would say that most of the people on the majority side need to see a side-by-side. They know what the governor's looks like. Let's see what the majority party's looks like, and then we can make our votes. But until we see them together, we can't cast intelligent votes. We can't vote for an incremental budget, albeit they may be fine numbers. But you have to see this thing in its totality, and to not see it in its totality is, I think, just taking us down the road. We've been there before. I don't think we want to go there again. Let's just see both budgets side by side. Let's have the discussion, make the intelligent vote, and move forward. But I agree with Senator Roebling. We've just got to see these things side by side. We've got to see the budget in totality.
Senator Cohen.
Well, Mr. President, Senator Senjum and Senator Roebling, let me just play out a couple things. First of all, Senator Roebling, you said, well, where are the House numbers? We've never set targets in tandem with the House. That's unheard of. And the House has set targets. I don't know where they are on the relative to floor action on their target proposal, but they've set targets. Yeah, they're different than ours. That's always the case. All the years I've been here, that's been the case. But at least relative to knowing final budget numbers, let's take that 387. I don't know who else has been following what's going on in Washington. I've tried to track it as best I can. And as I indicated a minute ago, I think that money is now more real than it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago. But let's go back to the presentation of the governor's budget. Let's assume that the money is still fictitious as it was then. Should we sit around until May 14th before we realize we're not going to see the federal money? How long should we wait for that part of the process to play out. And that's why, where the governor used $400 million toward what was then a $1.2 billion deficit of money that nobody had any idea where it was. It just seems to me that's a pretty unreasonable way, and not unreasonable, a fictitious way of budgeting. We're attempting not to make the same mistake and to wait until we actually know that there's federal money out there that ought to be brought into our budget and or our budget forecast. So it strikes me that this is a much more reasonable way to budget, a way where we can actually determine some of these floating pieces. What happens if the governor decides that Senator Berglund's JMC proposal all of a sudden is not something that that he wants to sign, and he vetoes it again? Given some of the back and forth on these bills, the bonding bill, the JMC bill, until I see the governor's signature on that bill, I'm not going to feel secure in knowing that we should count that money toward our budget solution. If we wait for all these moving pieces, we could find ourselves here on May 10th without a budget. And then what we'll hear from the minority is, why did you sit around waiting for these fictitious pieces of the budget? Seems to me this is a much better way to go, a much surer way to go, where we could actually get some work done, get it done early, move the process along, and maybe even adjourn early this year.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Cohen, I think on our side, all we're asking for is for you to share the same information about your budget plan that you know and share among your own members of your caucus. That's all we're asking. I don't for a minute believe that there is a complete void in anyone's thinking about how they're going to deal with the budget on your side of the aisle. And all we're asking for is share it with us so we can begin to talk about it. And don't force us to vote on things with only incomplete knowledge. I think that, to me, strikes me as a political ploy when we're really trying to do something very serious, which is understand what the completing budget proposals look like. And I understand there's uncertainty. We all understand there's uncertainty. Things can happen. But give us the full picture. Give us what you know. Give us what you're thinking you want to do with the budget, and give it to us in its entirety. We understand that there's going to be some things that might have to change, but I think that's only fair, and that's what we're asking for.
Senator Ortman, then we're going to move on. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President. From what I understand, there was a deal on GAMC that the chairs from both the House and the Senate agreed to the basic parameters of a new program, and that the governor agreed as well. We got an estimate as to how much it's going to cost. Certainly as detailed as the estimate we were given today, I'm not sure why that would change anything more than $10, $20 million. And with a $1 billion budget, I think that should be included here. And all the health and human services should not be held up for that one bill. We have a very good estimate about what that's going to cost. And unless somebody intends to change it, that could be factored in here very easily with the scope of these estimates. So I would hope that they would do that and come back with a full target picture.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, members, first Senator Hand, I wanted to, and I don't know if this will, I'm not sure if this is a good thing, but I want you to know you have as much information as the members of our caucus now have. There is no additional information. And many members of our caucus are wondering what's the number going to be in step two and what's going to look like on step three. And as I tried to explain, we don't know the number on step two yet. We know it'll be a sizable number with regards to human services, but until the GAMC bill is settled, you can't really set that number. And we have the 313 is a joint target with the House right now. The House is going to hit a 208 number and a 105 number. There are details in the eight budget areas will be different, but the 208 is the same number the House is working with as they are working with the 105. I'm hoping that the House and the Senate will also then quickly after GMC is settled be able to set a number on step two. I'm hoping we will be able to do that jointly with the House. And I just want to reiterate, I've said publicly many times that I thought we were going to have to cut. Originally, it was $1.2 billion, and now the number is $994. My position all along, and I'm only speaking for myself, is that we were going, since the governor was not going to support any new taxes, we were going to have to cut the budgets that number. I believe that we do have to cut the budget that number, except for the governor has not recommended a budget that does that. The governor has only recommended a budget that cuts about $600 million. So I don't see a problem whatsoever with the Senate matching the governor's cut number. Frankly, I'm slightly disappointed because I thought we were going to do a larger number. But the governor is depending on federal money, one-time federal money, that presumably the Senate will use also if the money comes. So I think it's important to make it clear that the governor has not proposed a budget that balances the current deficit with cuts only. He has not recommended that budget. I was am still willing to try to match that in the Senate if the governor would do it. And the reason is because we have a $5 to $8 billion problem in the out years. And I personally believe, again speaking for myself, I personally believe it's in the interest of the state to reduce the budgets as far as we can this year to meet the long-term problem. But I think it's and to do it bipartisanly, I absolutely cannot get 34 Democratic votes to pass cuts deeper than the governor is willing to recommend. If the minority caucus will recommend deeper reductions, I will encourage Senator Cohen's committee to hear those further budget reductions. I ask for the Senate minority caucus to do that, because I believe it would be in the long-term interest of the budget if we made deeper budget reductions this year than the governor is recommending. His insistence on depending on one-time money from the federal government, I do not think is in the long-term interest of the state. And I'm freely admitting that without his leadership on this, we cannot make deeper budget reductions. Unless he'll recommend it and work for it, we will not be able to do it, because I believe there are not 34 votes in the Senate to do that. With his recommendation to do it and his work within the body, I believe there will be 34 votes in the state Senate. It'll be a bipartisan vote, but I believe there are 34 votes if he will lead us to that. So I ask that he do that. Mr. President.
Senator Porgemiller.
Mr. President, Senator Senjum has requested a brief caucus prior to taking up the bonding bill. And so I would move that the Senate recess till 20 after 12.
Mr. Porgemiller, Senator Porgemiller, Mr. President, could you give me 20, let's go 25.
Call the chair, let's about 25 after. Call the chair at about 25 after.
Mr. President, Republican members, room 112 immediately. 112.
Yeah, on the motion to recess to the call of the chair, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate stands in recess.
Mr. President.
Senate's called to order.
Mr. President, I'd like to impose a call of the Senate.
Senate's under call.
Present.
Senator Pogamiller.
President, I move that further proceedings on the roll call be dispensed with, the sergeant-at-arms be instructed to bring the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President.
I believe that under motions, I'd like to move to messages from the House.
Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on House File 2700 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. House File 2700, a bill for an act relating to capital improvements, authorizing spending to acquire and better public land and buildings and other improvements of a capital nature with certain conditions. House File 2700 is herewith transmitted to the Senate, signed Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Langseth.
Mr. President.
Mr.
For what purpose?
Mr. President, at the appropriate time, I'd like to make a motion to re-refer the bill to the conference committee.
Yeah, I will. Senator Ortman, I will recognize you, yes. Senator Langseth.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File number 2700 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
You can explain it just a little bit, Senator Langseth.
Mr. President, members, I did explain it before, I guess, but it you will see on the spreadsheet that the changes from the last conference committee. We did have to take about $75 million out of there that we had before to accommodate the governor's requests, and it does show where they came from. And I guess rather than going just line by line, why I would be available for questions.
That's enough. That's good, Senator. Senator Ortman?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to move that the recommendations and conference committee report on House File 2700 be rejected and that the bill be re-referred to the conference committee as formally constituted for further consideration.
Okay. Senator Limmer?
Thank you, Mr. President. For the rest of the proceedings of this motion, I wish to impose a call of the Senate.
Senate's under call. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and Sergeant of Arms be instructed to bring in absent members.
Yeah, on the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Now, Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before I begin, I'd like to ask for a roll call vote on this motion.
There will be a roll call.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I'm asking that at this point that we do not send this bill directly to the governor. As we know, he has promised that he will line item veto. We have $725 million budgeted for this bill, and yet this bill still, after all the negotiations, overspends our budget by a quarter of $1 million, well over the $1 billion mark. Excuse me, I said a quarter of a million. It's a quarter of $1 billion over budget, Mr. President. And I'm very concerned that what we're doing is proposing to send a bill to the governor that does not have a majority support in both houses. What we're asking the governor to do, members, is to do our work, our legislative work, to decide for us how to reach an agreement, apparently, that the DFLers in the House and the Senate can't reach on their own. Why is he negotiating an agreement between the Minnesota House Democrats and the Minnesota Senate Democrats? I think we can do this in the conference committee. It then would restore our majority authority here in Minnesota. And I want to point out in our Constitution, it does say in Article 3, Section 22, that no law shall be passed unless voted for by a majority of all the members elected to each house of the legislature. And if we send this bill to the governor, we will not have that really important majority.
There's another point in favor of my motion, Mr. President, and that's the concern that if we give up this authority to come up with our own legislative solutions here, we might as well give up on the budget as well. Last year, the governor unallotted, and I heard a lot of people say, with some very good reason, that only we in the legislature should be passing a budget and that the governor should be asked to weigh in on that budget, that we should do our work first and the governor should not come in and unallot. But that's essentially what, by sending this bill off to him at this point, we'd be asking him to do. We'd be saying, Governor, we can't do our work, so please unallot the bonding bill. There have been a lot of opposition to unallotments in the past. I've heard a lot of arguments against that. But now, by failing to do the legislature's work, we're actually asking the governor to become a legislator, do the legislative work. Our separation of powers is not made for that. It's made for us to do our work and for him to do his job and not for us to ask him. We shouldn't be giving up our power under Article 3 to ask him to do our work. And I hope members will send this bill back to conference committee for further consideration. I know we can cut that quarter of a billion dollars. There are places to do that, Mr. President.
Mr. President.
Discussion, Senator Langston.
Mr. President, the legislature did do their work. This is the bill we believe in. We feel at this particular time, this is the time to bond and build. So we did our work. This is the bill that we believe in.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. President, I would agree with that wholeheartedly if we met the budget, $725 million, but instead we exceeded that budget by $250 million. The legislature did not do its work and now is asking the governor to do it, and I hope members of the public understand the difference.
Okay, we're on the Ortman motion. That the recommendations of Conference Committee on House File 2700 be rejected and the bill be re-referred to the Conference Committee as formally constituted for further consideration. Secretary will take the roll on the Ortman motion to re-refer the bill. Senate is under call. Senators are to vote. All senators having voted. Absolutely.
Corin signed the conference committee report, didn't he?
Secretary will close the roll. It'll be 19 ayes, 46 nays. The motion does not prevail. Now we're back on the motion by Senator Langseth to adopt the bill and repass it as amended by the conference committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Now third reading.
Third reading.
House File 2700, a bill for an act relating to capital improvements, authorizing spending to acquire and better public land and buildings and other improvements of a capital nature with certain conditions.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote, secretary will close the roll. There being 49 ayes, 17 nays, the bill is passed. Its title agreed to.
President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, members, we're going to have, I think we have to go back to take some reports and things, but otherwise we're pretty much done for today, but we'll keep the floor open for a skeleton crew for committee reports so that we can process those to the other committees later this afternoon. A bunch of committees are meeting this afternoon. But in terms of votes on the Senate floor, we're done. We're pretty much done for the day. I yield to Senator Senjum.
Remaining under motion, Senator.
Mr.
President. Senator Cohn, do you have a motion? Senator Cohn, do you have a motion?
Mr. President, I move that Senate File 2830, which is number 29 General Orders, be stricken and re-referred to the Committee on Finance.
What are you doing here, Senator Cole?
Yeah, Mr. President, this is a bill of Senator Chaudhry's. He and I have had the chance to talk about it. It's similar to a bill of Senator Saxog's, which was also referred to the Finance Committee earlier today. We'll try to hear these bills as quickly as possible.
All right, on the Cohn motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Now, Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, I've had comments from some of my colleagues on the minority side that that last vote went pretty quickly on the Senate File 2700, and having voted on the prevailing side, and as a courtesy to those members, I'd like to move to reconsider with a roll call vote.
The motion is to reconsider the vote on House File 2700. Senator Pogemiller. Apparently they want to... okay.
Mr. President.
Senator Langseth.
I guess the problem I have with this is I've seen it happen that when there was a re-vote, some of the people that voted earlier leave because they think it's over. I don't know. I'm not going to object to it, but I'm a little concerned that that everybody who voted the first time get a chance to vote the second time.
Senator
Sanjo. Mr. President, that whole process went even a little fast for me, and that's not unusual, but if we could, and I know there's some people that had some comments, some debate, they didn't have an opportunity to express that, and they've asked me to, since I did vote on the prevailing side, to move a reconsideration.
We'll take a roll call on a motion by Senator Sanjim. All those, or Secretary, will... For what purpose does... Okay. Secretary will take the roll. This is the to reconsider. All senators that have been voted desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. It'll be 32 ayes and 33 ayes and 33 nays. Motion does not prevail. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Point of personal privilege.
State your point.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, earlier today we had a discussion about moving a little too fast with legislation. We had the discussion of talking about bills, at least getting just a mere discussion, a mere identification of bills during the calendar. And now we had a rather quick decision to move this particular bonding bill motion for a vote. All we were asking for was an opportunity to reconsider only for the purposes of discussion. Now the minority failed to have that opportunity, and it was denied by the majority party here in the room. Well, all of our eyes are open now, and I'm inviting all of our members to have vibrant discussion about every bill between now and the end of the session. I don't think there's any other need to go any further discussion about process here. We'll just exercise the process that's made available to us. And I hope that at least the members of our caucus will be engaged, because that's really why we're sent here. We're sent here to discuss. We're sent here to reason with. We're sent here to negotiate for the best interests of the people of Minnesota. Obviously, that's going in a direction that the mere courtesy of having these things, at least labeling of bills for public discussion, is being a bit curtailed, and that is being dampened.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President.
Senator Murphy.
Point of personal privilege.
State your point of personal privilege,
Senator. Mr. President, every session, everybody knows when it is. They know what we're going to do.
As I tell the people on our transportation committee, come prepared to discuss the issues and vote on time.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, Senator Limmer, I actually think what you just said is inaccurate. We asked for discussion of the bill prior to breaking for your caucus. We allowed you to caucus. There was asked for discussion after you caucused. If you weren't in the room, I don't know what to do about that. But I'm not quite sure how much more time you wanted to discuss it. Did I miss something?
Senator Pogemiller, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Pogemiller, it's our opinion that this process is beginning to be a little too fast on the trigger for procedural questions to come to a vote. Usually there's asked for discussion and there's a pause in order for someone to stand. I don't believe that happened today on the bonding bill.
Well, Mr. President, I'm going to defend the president on this one. We asked for discussion prior to doing any other business today. Since there was no discussion, we had plenty of time, and so we took up the consent calendar. And then I asked for discussion, and then we took up the other calendar. Senator Senjum asked for a recess. We took up the recess. We came back. The only reason we were coming back was to process that bill. The president called on Senator Langseth to make the various motions. He called on Senator Ortman to make her motion. We voted on those various motions. I'm not quite sure what the president's supposed to do other than ask if there's further discussion. And when there wasn't, he said, let's vote then. So, Senator Limmer, if there was something that was missed, I don't think, I'm not seeing it. I don't know what happened exactly that you might be concerned about.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, did you wish to?
Point of personal privilege, Mr. President.
State your point.
My point is with regards to the process here, I'd like to make a comment that's been ongoing here.
That's fine, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Mr. President, I'm concerned about the process as well. There was several of us that were going to get up and talk and discuss a very large bill. Now, I know I've only been here 3 years, but I know when we get to large bills like this, it's a lot of times it's a little extra effort is put forth to make sure everybody is here, everybody understands what's going on. Maybe a nod back and forth to the leadership and minority, whatever you do, but I've noticed that we certainly have never been able to, or never run things through as quickly as this did. It did catch us off guard, there's no question about that. I certainly would like to have asked Senator Langseth some questions with regards to the bill. It's been going back and forth, and I think we at least deserve that opportunity. And it seemed like we were going to get that with a reconsideration, but that did not happen, and it's really unfortunate because, unfortunately, it appears that Senator Langseth does not want to answer those important questions, and that's really unfortunate.
Mr. President? Mr.
Senator.
President, this is a little unusual, but I would ask Senator Langseth to yield to a question from Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Mr. President, I yield.
Thank you.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
And thank you, Mr. Pogemiller, for that. That is a nice gesture. I do have some questions with regards to the bonding bill. And as you know, it's gone back and forth, Senator Langseth, several times. And what I was told with the bonding bill when I first came here, and it has not changed, at least I think it's a reasonable mark, I think, when it comes to spending the taxpayers' dollars on public projects, is that they are of state significance or of regional significance. And it was very clear to me that there are some projects in this particular bill, when it's finally come to its end here now, that may not actually meet the test of regional significance. Mr. President and members and Mr. Langseth, there's some things in here that are troublesome to me. Hockey centers, volleyball centers, regional sports centers, And the reason I'm standing up and want to ask the question that I'm going to eventually ask here, and that is...
Senator Ingebrigtsen, I would ask if you would ask the question.
I will get to it right now. The question is that I had what I think a very, very good regional significance bill here, very similar to actually the one in Perm that is still on the bill. And I'm wondering why, Senator Langseth, you feel that the waste control to waste or burning to waste center in Perm is more important than the one in Pope Douglas when it was on the bill all the way through the process, and how you're going to be able to defend to the public that you're going to be spending millions of dollars on campground extensions and other things, Olympic training centers and things like that. Can you give me one good reason why that is regionally more significant than a waste burner to waste or burner to energy project that engulfs about seven different counties?
Well, Mr. President, we had your project in the bill. $75 million had to come out to accommodate for the governor, and when it was in the bill, you voted against it.
Senator Vandiver.
Mr. President, I would move that Senate Resolution 42 be withdrawn from the Committee on Rules and Administration, laid on the table.
Mr. President, could we have a brief explanation? I don't know what the
we're getting to where we want explanations. Brief explanation. Senator Vandiver, what are you doing?
I thought we didn't need those, Mr. President.
Well, we've decided we do.
Oh.
Senator Vandiver.
Okay. This is the proportional office space in the Capitol for minority and majority members resolution. So that, members, what this resolution would do if it came up is it would allow members to have office space in the Capitol at the same percentages or same ratio that you had membership in the state Senate. It would be a little more fair than just having the majority party have all the offices in the Senate, and would probably be more convenient for constituents and just more reasonable, I think. And I'd also add that I had requested a hearing on this and was told that I would get one last year, and I had brought the motion forward and withdrew it because I was promised a hearing and I haven't had that hearing yet, so I'm bringing it forward now at this point for that reason.
Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I oppose the motion. Senator, you will get a hearing in the Rules Committee. I apologize if as you've mentioned it now, I recall you asking for a hearing. Senator, you will get a hearing the next time the Rules Committee meets, which will be in the next week or so. I to the extent that this fell through the cracks, I apologize, but I see no danger in discussing this and the proper forums in the Rules Committee.
Senator, further discussion?
Well, Mr. President, thank you, Senator Pogermiller. With that, I will withdraw the motion for now.
Motion's been withdrawn. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you for letting me make one more point here, and that's all it's going to be. Senator Langseth, I did not vote against that. I voted for that, so you're incorrect in saying that. Just wanted to make that clear.
Senator Pogermiller. Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, just a little bit more on process, and before I go into that, you know, I do thank Senator Pogermiller. You did give us some time to caucus the bonding bill, and that's fine. On the other hand, I don't know if I should have, but I suspect it was 9 or 9:30 this morning before I even knew the bonding bill was going to be up, of course, this morning, and had we known a little bit earlier, we could have caucused it before we got here. A couple of weeks ago, we do GAMC. We're thinking we're coming with one bill. There's an 11 o'clock at night bill. We've got a new bill in the morning, and we're expected to vote on it. And yes, there was a break, and we did get to caucus it, albeit that bill was so new that even the Health and Human Services Commissioner was struggling to understand what it said. So as we talk about process and we talk about where we are, and as, for instance, I have no idea at this point, maybe Senator Pogemiller doesn't either. I mean, what are we going to do Monday? Many of our members are going home, I believe, tomorrow, or at least perhaps even tonight. And so they're going to arrive at this place on Monday morning. We're going to have no idea coming here at 11 o'clock what we're going to be doing. So if we could have a little bit more clarity in terms of advance notice on things like this, it would be very, very helpful, and that would certainly be something that the minority party would wish for and ask for, and we ought to have. We'll all do better work if we know what's going to happen.
Mr. President.
Senator Langseth.
Mr. President, I have to counter what Senator Ingebretson said. When we had the conference committee before us, before his project, that project was in there, he voted against it.
Senator Ingebretson, and
thank you for indulging, Mr. President. Yes, I voted for the bill to start with. It came back. It continued to grow before coming back. I voted against that bill, and it's very obvious that I voted against that bill, and then all of a sudden the priorities changed, and that's where I have the issue. The priorities changed on what is actually state and what's regional, and when the other facility in Perm is worth moving forward and Douglas County one is not, it's obvious that my vote made a difference.
Senator Perry, then I think we're pretty close to not arguing any more about the bonding bill, which...
Mr. President, just a point of personal preference here.
Okay, state your point of personal privilege.
Mr. President, I just want to reconfirm in my mind what Senator Pogemiller said, because I believe I heard something different. And being the freshman senator here, I've been listening very intently and working very hard with my constituents on this bonding bill. And knowing somewhat the rules of Robert's Rules of Order, I specifically heard you say, Mr. President, when Senator Ortman made her motion, you asked us for discussion. We had the discussion. We had the vote. Then 2700 was brought up, and you did not at that time, unlike what Senator Pogemiller said, you did not at that time come forth and say, is there any further discussion? Because I was waiting, and I think if we go back and take a look at the videotape of this, you'll see that. Because I was waiting to talk and bring forth what I worked on all weekend with the citizens of District 26. When they went through the bonding bill that I brought to over 100 citizens, and I was waiting to give the response from the voting citizens, 56,000 strong in Senate District 26. Yet, Mr. President, and I know it's been going fast, very fast, more fast than I like as a freshman senator, but I specifically did not hear you ask for discussion, and I just want to make that point. Thank you.
I think we're just about done with this issue, but when Senator Langseth made his motion, we didn't just rush into it. We waited for a normal amount of time, and there's nobody standing up, so I want that to be made to be clear. Senator Pogemiller. Senator Anderson, do you have a motion? We're still in motions. Go ahead, Senator Anderson.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I move that Senate File 3175 be withdrawn from the Committee on Environment and Natural Resources and re-referred to the Committee on Health, Housing, and Family Security. And I have discussed this with both chairs. This bill relates to ice arenas and public health, and I think it was just an inadvertent referral.
A discussion on the Anderson motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, members, I'm going to recess to the call of the chair. It may be as late as 7 o'clock tonight, but it's only a skeleton crew. It's only to accept committee reports so that they could be processed for tonight so that people can have those in their committees tomorrow. So, Senator Senjum, they tell me it'll probably be about 7. I'll keep you informed as best I know. I'm going to have to come back also. So, So, Mr. President, I move the Senate adjourn, the Senate recess to the call of the chair later today.
Senator, there might be a message tonight, but no action. Senator Senja.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Pogomiller yield?
He will yield. Senator Senja.
Senator Pogomiller, and going back to some of this last discussion, not meaning to get too far into it, but thinking about Monday and knowing that it will soon be upon us, is there any thought, do you have any thoughts as to what we might be taking up?
Senator Senja, or Senator Pogomiller.
Senator Senjum, the GAMC bill is going to be heard in committee on Monday, in Senator Cohen's committee, so that would not be on the Senate floor on Monday. And since it's the second week of the deadline, I would think we would want a relatively brief session. So I don't think we would be taking up anything of major significance.
Okay. You had to... And without objection, Senator Michelle will be excused from today's session all day. Senator Vandeveer from 11:35 to 11:40, and Senator Corrine from 12:25 to 12:50. The motion is to recess to the call of the
Mr.
chair.
Mr. President,
Senator Rest.
May I make an announcement, please?
Yes, Senator Rest.
Thank you. The other day I mentioned the ballot from the Legislative Audit Commission for the topics for this session. It's yellow, looks like this. Please make your selections. We're asking you to make to choose four, and you can put comments on there about which ones are the most important to you. But if you would choose four and get your ballot in to us by, you still have a lot of time, Wednesday, March 17th, but we would like to keep on reminding you so that we get a full complement of votes from the Senate. Thank you.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. President, thank you. The Commerce and Consumer Protection Committee will meet immediately in room 112.
Senator
Salzman.
And the Business, Industry, and Jobs Committee will be meeting immediately as well in room 123, Mr. President.
Okay, Senator Pogomiller renews his motion that the Senate's in recess. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Senate will come to order.
Mr. President, I believe there may be committee messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following House file herewith transmitted, House file number 3108, signed Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
First reading of House bills, they're printed on the agenda. And is referred as indicated on the addendum. Reports of committees? They are printed in the addendum.
Mr. President.
Is there a motion to adopt the reports?
Mr. President, I'd move that committee reports printed in the addendum be adopted.
What's the line? On the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. They're adopted. Second reading of Senate bills, they are printed on the addendum. Second reading. Majority Leader, that's all we have.
Mr. President, then I would move that the Senate adjourn till Monday, March 15th, 11 a.m.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. The Senate stands adjourned.